Paul, with me, Paul Andrews. We've got another fantastic guest to speak to in a moment, and I'm also going to catch up with Jules Serkin. There's been lots of activity on the Twitter, loads of people passing on their best wishes to the fabulous Alison Palmer of the FSB. Too many messages to read out, but just some of the people passing on their best wishes: Zeenat Nirani, Tracy Ferguson, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, so many more people all telling us what a fantastic job that Alison's done, and they're absolutely right. It's going to be a hard act to follow. That certainly is. Okay, I've had some other tweets as well. Intune PR, Darren Vinnerweb, grateful if you could share the second Rotary Work Club covering Bexley, Dartford and Gibraltar. That's an interesting, and Bexley and Dartford are next to each other. I'm not sure about Gibraltar, but there you go. Bexley, Dartford and Gibraltar providing free skills sessions for job seeking and business startup. So if you're, you know, out of work, unemployed, made redundant, and you're seeking a job, or you're thinking about starting up your own business, there's free work clubs run by the Rotary Club. You can find out about it by dropping them an email at rwc.north. That's rwc.north@gmail.com. It's open to the unemployed and those in fear of losing their jobs. So rwc.north@gmail.com for the Rotary Work Club covering Bexley, Dartford and Gibraltar. Would you believe? There you go. One more email before we join our next guest. Awards celebrate hard work, success and are great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, why not enter the free Maidstone or Ashford Business Awards 2021? There's a number of categories in each area, and there is an awards dinner that's tentatively scheduled for November this year at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. If you want to find out more about these awards or to enter them, if you go to www.businessawardskent.co.uk. Let me give you that without the tongue tie. It's www.businessawardskent.co.uk to find out about the Maidstone and Ashford Business Awards 2021. Right, we caught up with a business that is really interesting, and I really think you need to hear about this because it's a fascinating story. Let's hear from Alan Lester.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to be joined now on the show for the very first time by Mr. Alan Lester. Alan is from Advanced Hydro Limited. Good afternoon, Alan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the introduction and thank you for having me on. Just to perhaps give a bit of background on myself, my name is Alan Lester. I am the CEO and owner of Advanced Hydro Limited. We're a small, medium-sized enterprise. We specialise in water treatment systems, and our real focus is on new-to-market systems, which exploit sort of new technology, new developments, and new science to launch new products. The company's been in existence about 8 years now. Why did I start it? Professionally, I'm a chemist. I'm also have a background also within engineering, and having worked in industry and sort of worked around water treatment within my industrial sort of career, I've then sort of identified that I think there's a real gap, or thought there was a real gap, in terms of bringing that sort of science and technology, new cutting edge stuff, into that water treatment market. And that's sort of the reason for the sort of starting the business. And it's been a slow burn. I think a lot of these things take a lot. It's like doing any other project, DIY or starting your own business. Ultimately, these things take a lot longer than you anticipate. But yeah, we're in a good place, even though, you know, through COVID has affected many businesses, ours has grown very, very well. So at the moment, we're in a pretty good place.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for that. Jules is going to ask you something in a minute, but I just want to clarify where we are with this in terms of the water business. Can you, Alan, just give us an overview of what that means? You know, the products and services that you supply, what do they actually do? Are these commercial things? Are they domestic? Is it your drinking water? Give us an overview of what the water business is about from your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, water treatment itself, there's a number of devices that treat water, and the reason water's treated is, if I could start at the sort of beginning, water itself is obviously a need of life. one of the problems you've got with water is once it sits, it then becomes quite toxic in terms of bacterial growth. There are other aspects of treating water that can cause problems, and I'll go into some of that in more detail later. Water, therefore, in the Western world, all water we come across is in some way or another treated. Everything from coming out of your tap or to what happens in the car wash down the road, that is treated to protect people using water against pathogens, nasties, microbes in the water, which will either make us sick or give other effects. So in terms of what we do, we supply systems to clean water in terms of sterilizing or purification, and we also supply systems which reduce the effect of hard water scale. In terms of the markets we supply, primarily we're an industrial supplier, so we supply the industrial commercial sector. One of our products, which I think I'll speak about shortly, which we developed, which is the ACP, that was primarily
the advanced crystallization process for listeners.
Yes, sorry, the advanced crystallization process, a device to reduce the effect of hard water scale, was introduced developed and introduced for the commercial market. As a result of its success there, and some of our competitors were selling into the domestic market, we now sell that product into the over-the-counter plumbing supply type market, and that's been very, very successful.
That's how I discovered Alan, Paul, because my local plumber, I've been looking at the hard water scale that we have here in the southeast.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? I live in Tenterton. We have really, really hard water in Tenterton. It's much harder than yours. Our water's well harder than yours, I'll tell you.
You can only use so much white vinegar to descale your shower head, can't you?
Well, it's funny you should say that. At the top of my house is my youngest son's ex-bedroom. He doesn't live here anymore. I don't go up there very often, but I went up there last weekend to do some tidying up. There's an ensuite bathroom in his room, and I went to flush the toilet, and the whole thing fell apart, where the lime scale had built up around all the plumbing, and it eventually corroded it, and it all fell apart.
You need a bit of ACP, Paul.
I need a whole dollop of ACP in there. I really do. Yeah, go on, Alan. Tell us what I should. Let Alan speak. Let him speak.
I need to ask you, first of all, right at the beginning, that you did have some sort of government grant for this, which I found interesting.
Yeah, we did. We did. What I was going to quickly say on that last point was that scale is estimated to cost the UK about £5 billion a year in terms of energy bills and everything else. And, of course, generally, if you look at the geography of the country, if you draw a line from, say, Weymouth across up to the Wash, everything southeast of that is hard. And you're right, Paul, you are hard, but you're not the hardest in the country.
Am I not? I'm working on it, mate.
Yeah, you're working on it. In terms of the sort of history behind the advanced crystallization process, we identified that there are there's a myriad of devices which will...
So, Alan, you were saying about the hardness and lime scale and all that kind of stuff, and how the South of England suffers from that. What is the cause of that, actually?
The cause of it is the fact that we have the chalk around us, funnily enough. When we have rain falls through the atmosphere. It picks up carbon dioxide, which is a natural product in the atmosphere. That makes the rain slightly acidic. That rain, when it hits the chalk, it then dissolves a bit of the chalk and changes the chalk, which is calcium carbonate, into what's called calcium hydrogen carbonate, which is dissolved.
Kelly's a chemist.
Yes, I have to bore you with the science. But then when you heat it in your kettle or your immersion heater, what happens is it then converts back from calcium hydrogen carbonate to calcium carbonate, so it goes back to being chalk. So that's what's formed in your kettles and around your taps, etc., etc. So that's it. The degree of how hard the water is will be dependent on a number of factors, the rock strata, etc., etc. So, but you do get that very. Compared with some places in the world, such as Cyprus, we do pretty good. I mean, typically yours, Paul, in terms of numbers, will be about 290 parts per million. In Avis, Cambridge is about 440. In Cyprus is about 1,300. So it's not as bad as it could be.
Do they have a lot of chalk in Cyprus?
Yeah, well, I assume the right, I've not done a geological survey, but I assume that that's where 90% of it comes from. So I assume that they would have, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get through 2 kettles a year, so goodness knows what they get through. And yeah, as you said, that's why it costs the country so much in yes. terms of damage. But of course, I'm assuming that your products and services aren't just targeted at chalk and stuff like that. So give us an overview of some of the other issues that Advanced Hydro help people to resolve, as well as hard water.
Yeah, we also offer a consultancy service, which is to do with water treatment, and we look at can be a high host of projects. I've been asked to review products. I've been asked to report on competitors' products, etc. Right. So we do a bit of sort of scientific background. I think one of the things we have at Advanced Hydro is a very strong technical service aspect, and what I alluded to earlier was the fact that a lot of these companies have a product that shows some sort of beneficial effect, and before you know it, you've got pseudoscience coming out of your ears with all sorts of new things I've never heard of. So what we sort of pride ourselves on is being sort of accurate and technically very sound. In terms of the other stuff we do, we sell, as I said, the advanced crystallization process, which is our own product, but we also sell other systems such as the advanced oxidation process, which is somebody else's product we sell. That disinfects water and does a very good job.
Are you saying that makes water potable?
It will do, but it has to be in a relatively good state beforehand. No systems on earth will take muddy water and make it potable. You need to go through a series of processes.
And you're selling this to other countries, I take it?
I sell it to UK within certain sectors of the market. We certainly sell the AC pre abroad. We have customers in India, Indonesia, the Philippines, wow, Colombia, Turkey, and at the moment with the EU transition, it's very difficult to get a foothold in Europe. Our major competitor is a German company, and we believe we had a better product than them. And they sell 100,000 units a year worldwide.
Wow.
And that's just the ACP. So we do sell these products abroad. But again, it's got to be outside of Europe at the moment.
Okay. Can I just ask you a kind of probably a stupid question, so forgive me. How is your product delivered? Is it a chemical additive or is it a machine?
No, we as a part of the business philosophy is to deliver physical treatment systems, environmentally friendly systems, which don't deliver chemicals. The system, the ACP, the advanced crystallization process, what that does, it has a component of zinc in there and a body of brass, and the electrochemical difference between the two delivers a very, very small amount of zinc into the water stream, and I'm talking parts per billion here. Right. The effect of that zinc is to change the chemistry of the crystals of chalk, which form, and as a result, that changing of their sort of structure prevents the chalk from adhering to pipes, taps, etc.
Okay, so basically, it's a manufactured product.
Yes, yeah, it's developed in Kent with Kent government, local government money, and it's manufactured in Kent at all sources.
We buy
the zinc in Faversham. It's made in Gravesend, and the brass comes from somewhere else in Kent. So it's a purely a homegrown product.
Fantastic,
so Kentish, and also global though. So it's very really exciting. How did that government grant help you, Alan?
Well, the government grant, we came across this. I'm always keen to look at development. Development costs money. I came across what's called the Tiger Loan, which is something launched by Kent County Council. I'm sure you're aware of. Some of your listeners will be. I came across that and then I spoke to a few people about it. And I thought, this is exactly what we want. We applied for about £200,000 worth of funding, went through the process, and was successful in gaining that. That allowed us to fast track the development of the product. One of the problems you've got with developing any product is that the investment needed to realize, to generate a prototype and then to start to sell, the investment needed can be quite heavy. And for a small to medium sized enterprise to find £200,000 to invest, we would have done, but it would have been over a 5-year period or 5 to 10 year period rather than a 2-year period. The grant money allowed us to fast track that and get the sort of prototype on the table within sort of 18 months and then a final product within 2 years. Again, you know, these things always take longer than you think. But within 2 years, we had the product. We've probably sold about 1,000 units onto the domestic market, and probably about 750 to large users. And I'm talking, and a lot of these were developed for commercial markets, so they go into big buildings like the Shard. I don't think there's one in the Shard, but that sort of project, yeah, where they're very large units going to there.
And of course, that's hotels would lap that up, wouldn't they? All the cleaning, yep, of the bathrooms and things, yep, there.
A lot of good. We've got a nice little brochure which shows some of the really high profile customers, clients in London. How that works is we approach a specifier, so a mechanical electrical engineering specifier, who specifies the equipment to go into a new build, and then as a result of that, these are installed when the building takes shape. This really comes down to a commercial payback. Out of interest, 1 millimeter of scale increases your electricity bill by 8%, and 1 millimeter of scale will grow on a new pipe in a year. Yes. Wow. So really, the payback for these things becomes between 2 and 3 years.
Absolutely.
So commercially, that's why it's done, because it's a payback.
Yeah. So it's a sustainable eco product as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is it green tech, isn't it? Green technology.
I think it would be. I mean, what's called the anode, the bit of zinc in there slowly dissolves. So we guarantee that for 10 years, because that's our calculations as to how long it lasts. But then we will look to take the units back and then refit, so we can offer a sort of a refurbishment system, which will work just as well. But yeah, green technology. There's no chemicals involved. So there's no one of the issues you have environmentally with chemicals is that they take a lot of chemicals to make chemicals. So you've got that the chemical aspect. You've got the safe handling of chemicals, cost, etc. Safe storage, transport, all these sort of things, which of course something like the ACP gets around.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I like about a product like yours is it really does have an eco effect, because if you, yeah, put it in, as you say, it saves wear and tear, it saves electricity. I part own a boiler comparison website, okay, gas boiler, and the government are trying to reduce gas boilers by getting rid of them. And one of the things we're saying is if you use the smart controls better, you can save more CO2 by structuring the boiler better than by throwing it away. And that's a similar issue that says if you put an ACP in your water supply, it's much more user-friendly, it's much more eco-friendly, and it saves you lots of money and emissions by doing something as simple, I know it's not simple, but you know what I mean, yeah, as simple as that, rather than trying to, you know, do something grandiose like make water out of, I don't know, hydrogen or something.
If you look at the domestic market, I've been trying to get a soft water system in my house for about 5, 6, 7 years. Had a couple of quotes from main, you know, soft water people. And because I've got 3 taps, they go, oh, well, you've got to have another tap. I don't want a 4th tap around my lovely sink. And it's just been a nightmare. So then I try those little magnets. So I've got magnets, and my plumber came up, put one in the loft, and I've got one on, you know, in the mains, and that. Hopeless, didn't work. So for the domestic market, for little old me, how viable is it? Because I know Orbitz, my Whitstable plumber, is selling your ACP, advanced crystallization process. How viable is it for me?
Yeah, I think a couple of things, if I can just talk about that. It's interesting you mentioned magnets, because this is some of the sort of technology I was talking about earlier, that you have magnetic systems, you have electronic systems, you have wire wraps, you have electromagnetic. There's a whole host. There's another system which works from basis of having some catalytic effect on the water. Most of these have an effect, but how long they last and the science behind them is always very weak. Science behind ours is very strong. How long the effects they last can vary from a couple of seconds to perhaps a matter of hours, but there's not a great deal behind them. If I can talk a bit about softeners work 100%. They take out the calcium and replace it with sodium. This is why, for a start, you've got to have an additional tap, because the Drinking Water Inspectorate recommends that softened water isn't drunk because of the effects of sodium and the effect that has on the heart, etc., etc. The advantage of the OCP is that you can drink the water. It's perfectly safe. It's RASA approved. RASA is the organisation which governs all drinking water.
What does RASA stand for, though?
Water Regulatory Advisory
Body.
System. I should know that. That's really bad. But
look it up,
I will look it up. The RAS approval is what's needed now, has that, so you can drink the water. But a word of caution here. Softened water 100% takes out, because it actually removes the calcium, so 100% remedies your hard water issue. The ACP, we had to have that part of the parcel of getting the money from Kent County Council was that we had to verify proof of concept, which we did through the University of Guildford. University of Guildford Chemistry Department is a sort of world-renowned water chemistry centre of excellence. So they conduct some tests for us, independent testing, and showed that the ACP reduced the effect of hard water scale by 80%. So wow. I'm going to be clear with that 80% is not 100%, and 90% of our, well, 99%. I think we've had one complaint of the thousands we've sold. It's got to be explained that this is a 80% solution, not 100% solution. Unfortunately, the 100% solution is softeners and drinking, and then wear and tear and everything else. So there are issues in that.
Yeah.
Well, you never get 100% in anything, do you? I mean, look at the AstraZeneca vaccine, for example.
Yeah.
I think we're on 76%.
Yes.
Alan, it's a fascinating topic, and a whole topic that I'm not familiar with and it has enormous interest and application for so many things. Just as we finish off this interview, what are your plans? What are your plans for the business? How do you see your business growing? You mentioned that you're exporting to the rest of the world, but not Europe. What's the reasoning behind Europe so far?
I think early ventures into the export market in Europe, which was probably 2 years ago now. I think there was, because of the EU transition, Brexit, call it what you will, there was a reservation from European partners to take on our products because the deal wasn't set, so to speak. Yeah. Now that it is, we will review that probably in a year's time. We are exporting to other markets in the world, and I would hope to grow on that. The potentials here, we sell to India. India's huge. The whole of India is hard water, funnily enough, which is great news for Advanced Hydro. In saying that, it's also got a massively growing middle class, and they are becoming quite rich. So I'm hoping that those markets we can exploit. Yeah. In terms of the development of the business itself, that product is now developed and selling. I've got a very good sales guy who works for me, a bloke called Paul Owen. Paul is developing the UK market, and I will look to him to sort of further develop sales of that. What I really like is product development. And my next project is to develop new water disinfection systems that we can supply. There's some very good ones out there, but they are very expensive. I think we can supply a significantly better product at less price, which is still very, very commercially beneficial. And I've interests in third world countries for that. That's what I want to do. So to answer your question, promote what we've got. And promote and develop the business of what we've got, but also promote and develop other products.
I can certainly see that rocking in the emerging markets and Africa, India, as you said, and Asia, of course.
Yeah, and my swimming pool.
Yeah, and your swimming pool. The final thing I would say was I've got a customer in India who can virtually promise me overnight huge amounts of business. But COVID has really upset the apple cart. We have a very close relationship with a university a department that specialises in this in the UK. And we're all set to do some sort of joint development work, and COVID killed it. That sounds a bit lame in the light that the impact COVID has had in some people's lives, but it certainly has put us back at least 2 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with you on that. I own 9 businesses, and it's done enormous damage to all of my businesses. Yeah. But I am fascinated by what you've done. I'm inspired by what you've done. And I love the fact that you're sourcing everything locally here in Kent whilst exporting to the world. And I think that ticks just about every box that we like to hear from. Alan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. If people want to find out more about Advanced Hydro Systems, have you got a website that they can look at?
Yep. www.advancedhyde.com. That's advancedhyde.com.
Fantastic. There you go. Thank you. Cool. Alan, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We wish you continued and much success with your products, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jules. Have a good day.
I'll give you a buzz, Alan. Thank you.
Yeah, do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Lauch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lauchassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
That was Alan Lester of Advanced Hydro. A really fascinating story of another Kent-based success in manufacturing and chemicals. And what a brilliant story that is. And we wish Alan much success in driving up his exports. I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. She says, "Ha ha, that made me smile from Alan to Paul. Quote, you are hard, but you're not the hardest in the country." Yeah, really interesting to learn about the economic impact of scale on hard water. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. I don't know about you, but lime scale is the bane of my life. I mean, it ruins all of things like kettles and stuff like that. It just builds up so quickly, and coffee machines and all kinds. So interesting to learn more about it and what can be done about it from, as I say, a very successful new Kent-based business. Do you know what? Let's hear from her.
She's back. She's here again. You can't get rid of the woman. She's stalking me or something. It's that time of the week when we catch up with Jill Serkin. Hello.
Hello. Well, I am a bit blocked, you know, Paul Andrews, after my lovely Oxford AstraZeneca jab, which was on the 5th of March. I'm really grateful to have had it. I was just so happy to have had it, as the listeners know. But, 25 days on, I have most awful sinusitis, headaches, blood in my
Is that the jab that's done that, or have you just got sinusitis?
I have never.
Or you just got a blocked nose. Blow your nose. Get a tissue.
I have never had sinusitis in my life. And I know it's the jab because my mother, who also has autoimmune thyroid, you have to be really careful as an autoimmune, and she's got the same. So that's two of us. And then I've just found someone on Twitter because I tweeted about it.
No, you didn't.
I didn't feel I was getting any sympathy from you.
It's unlike you to mention your thyroid, Jules.
I know. So I tweeted about it, and I've already had one person come back with exactly the same. And hers, her AstraZeneca, was on the 27th of February. Blimey. So there's no hope. So yesterday it was like I had a full-blown cold. Today I'm better, but it sort of waxes and wanes.
When's your second jab, G?
It's the 21st of May, and as you know, I'll be 21 on May the 26th. So
absolutely, yeah, that was subtle. I have got your birthday in my diary.
Yeah, mine pops up. Yours pops up on Moonpig.
Does it?
It reminds me. Yeah, Paul Andrews is 23.
Yeah, on Moonpig, right.
I tell you what, though, after speaking to Alan, the lovely Alan Lester, I wish I'd studied more on chemistry, because I quite like chemistry. And, you know, when he's talking about zinc and things, because I actually take zinc supplements. So if I had his water system, I probably wouldn't need to. I'd save money in the long run, not buying my zinc.
When you say chemistry, do you mean like a cauldron where you add things in? You know, like
frog's legs and things.
Yeah, you know, no, like a wing of bat. Eye of newt, tongue of frog, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, when I used to live in Wuhan, I used to do that, but now...
No, I thought you were a bit witch-like, that was all.
No, only when I lived in Wuhan.
Right, okay.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it. I'm ignoring you. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that. I love the fact that, talking about Alan, I love the fact that he's at the Innovation Centre in Medway in Chatham. Mm. And also last week on the show, we discussed how Rochester prices, house prices in Rochester were going up. So
yeah.
Medway, it's quite good for Medway people, Medwarians, do we call them?
Mm-hmm. It's Medway is also bidding to be the City of Culture. And there's a big move to do that.
Yeah, well, that would take a while. You know, how much was it Thanet Margate got? God knows, quite a lot of millions, didn't it, recently, just to Margate? They got a big donation from the government.
Margate. I thought you meant they'd sold it.
They sold it. Sold it to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, sold it to a used car dealer. Do you want to buy Margate? Do you want to buy Margate, mate, or the whole Isle of Thanet? Do you want Planet Thanet? Planet Thanet, going cheap, yeah?
I always think Planet Thanet is that place that grows the tomatoes.
That's Thanet Earth, that is.
Yeah, I know, but I think it should be called Planet Thanet.
No, the whole island's Planet Thanet.
It's quite spooky when you go past that little Thanet Earth.
No, it's great. They grow loads of vegetables there. Yeah.
There's lots of Martians in there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to read you a little email, Paul Andrew.
Go for it.
A leisure firm is planning to open a 4.5 million two-storey karting circuit later this year. It's going to be the new attraction at the Longfield Road Retail Park in Tunbridge Wells, and it's set to welcome thrill seekers and racers from December of this year coming, I guess.
Yeah.
Competitors at the Elite Raceway track will tackle a 340-metre indoor circuit using eco-friendly electric carts, which can reach speeds of up to 40 miles an hour. Let's not tell the locals, because they'll start using them around here on the pavements. The project is the brainchild of Elite Leisure Collection, formerly known as Marker Study Leisure.
Marker Study, yeah.
Marker Study, you say it so well, which owns and operates venues and attractions such as the Buell Water and the One Warwick Park Hotel.
Don't they own Solomon's as well? I think they do.
Yeah. It is believed the karting circuit could create around 17 new full-time jobs and 8 part-time roles. I can see you enjoying that little...
I don't do karting and stuff like that.
You probably can't get your knees under anymore.
Well, I can't fit in it anyway because I'm too fat. But
too long as well because
But I've done all that years ago. I owned a motor racing team, and we've raced cars and we've done all. I'm well past that now.
You're sounding very jaded, Paul Andrews.
Yeah. Well,
giving up.
Well, we got banned from most of the kart tracks.
Why?
Well, because Ian, my driver, was a Formula 3 champion, and we used to go in for these little local competitions in karts. And, of course, he blew everyone away. And then when they found out we were a professional motor racing team, we got banned.
Well, because you were too good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when I was a JPS girl long ago, and I don't advocate smoking, but it was a great job, I was at Brands Hatch, me and, you know, James Hunt and all those guys. And... Yeah. I didn't know in those days. I was far too young and naive. I was 25. I didn't know about any of that. I should have got off with James Hunt. I regret it now. But I don't really like blondes. That's my trouble. I like dark men. Anyway, I digress. They let me drive my Lotus Esprit Turbo around Brands Hatch. And I was 25, you know, and they're all waving their flags and screaming. I thought, oh, I'm doing really well here. I'm going really fast. Turbo. And then I realized I was going around the wrong way. And they weren't very happy with me. But good times. Yeah. But I reckon we could still fit in a go-kart, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, probably. I'll be incredible. I'd be incredibly slow, though. My reactions are far too slow these days.
Yeah, well,
you anyway, I think it's a brilliant move for Tunbridge Wells, that, and the fact that it's electric carts as well. Ticks all the buttons. So, yeah, nice one. Well done, Marcus study. Let's hope it comes to fruition.
Well, let's hope they come on the show. Then there's a new freight service. This is rather interesting. It's going to be launched between Kent and Francais, creating about 100 jobs. And it's the ferry operator DFDS. And they say the new freight-only service will start operating between Sheerness and Calais from June. So that's the Isle of Sheppey, isn't it?
It is, yep.
How interesting. It will offer one day sailing in each direction between the two ports on ship Gothia, which can carry up to 165 unaccompanied freight units, which are trailers or containers without drivers. And the new route expands DFDS's existing network of services between the UK and Europe and comes in response to growing demand for unaccompanied freight services. It's the latest in a series of investments that the company is making to improve its services. It's a brand new freight and passenger ship also, which is the Côte de Paul. Do you see my lovely French accent? De Paul. Will join its Dover to Calais route in July this year, increasing capacity on the route and enhancing the passenger experience on board its fleet. Now, I'm excited about this because I live, as you know, in Whitstable, within a rowing distance of the Isle of Sheppey. So I reckon it would be better for me, rather than doing Dover Calais, just to nip over and sit in one of the freight crates.
We could box you up. What most people don't realise, because you get all these idiots all over social media waffling on about Brexit and all the rest of it, and they chunter on about Dover as if it was the only place in the UK that ever sent anything to France. Sheerness docks have been operating for just as long, and almost every new car that enters the country comes through Sheerness docks.
Yeah, that's right. I had a girlfriend who hit hard times with COVID, and she got a job on the Isle of Sheppey delivering their new cars to all around the UK. She loved the job, but she didn't like the language of the people that she was dealing with on the Isle of Sheppey.
But Sheerness Docks has been a very busy dock, and it's good to see that they're going to do some more freight shipping from there. Of course, it's not a passenger it's not a passenger terminal, it's a freight terminal.
Well, why don't they do a passenger terminal as well?
Well, because it's not convenient, is it? Because they got, you know, the dogs.
Very convenient for me.
Yeah, no, I don't mean convenient to get to. I mean convenient round the docks. You got to pick your way through all the containers and all the cars. I mean, there's about 200,000 cars parked there, which have just been delivered on container ships.
And didn't you tell me once, Paul Andrews, that one of the biggest ports that's exporting is, wasn't it Ipswich, you said?
It's Felixstowe.
Felixstowe,
The biggest port in the UK is Felixstowe. Dover is only the 10th largest port in the UK.
It's funny because everybody, like you say, everybody talks about Dover, but
It's because Dover's the closest. Because Dover's the closest to France, everybody assumes everything goes through Dover, but it doesn't.
I quite like that when you drive to Dover. I often go to Dover Castle and round there to walk. Mm. And immediately you go, you suddenly get French radio, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about you. The last time I was over there, my phone kept locking on to Vodafone France.
Yeah. I know. Mais oui. It's quite odd. I got another little email, which is about a businesswoman. It's Victoria Rowley, and it's a company that she started called Puddle Duck. So I'm going to read it out to you. She's insured her swimming school for youngsters, not only stayed afloat, see what she did there, during the pandemic, but continued to grow and has been named Women Franchisee of the Year in a prestigious awards ceremony. It's Victoria Rowley, as I said, and she owns the children's swimming school Puddle Ducks, which is based in East Kent, and it's also North Kent in southeast London. She hires swimming pools across the county to conduct lessons. She's the youngest ever owner to run a Puddle Ducks franchise when she took over the area in 2015 at the age of 24. She's now seen her efforts rewarded by winning the title at the 2021 NatWest Encouraging Women into Franchising Awards. It comes after swimming lessons were hit hard by the various lockdowns, with pools only set to reopen for the first time this year on Monday, April the 12th. However, additional pools and classes have been added and 7 new staff recruited, 6 teachers and 1 poolside assistant. So well done, Victoria Rowley. There's someone else to get on the show. And she's Puddle Ducks. You can give them a Google. You could hire out your swimming pools, you know.
Yeah, so could you. Yeah, absolutely. We could have ducks. Funnily enough, on my swimming pool, on my pond, I was watching the ducks earlier. There's a whole heap of mallards suddenly arrived on my pond, and they were bobbing for worms or whatever it is they eat.
Well, what does your pheasant feel about that?
Oh, he's left.
Oh, he's been eaten, has he?
And I don't know. He's just gone. He cleared off. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen. Do you fish in your pond? Or?
We used to have fish in there, but the herons had them all.
You can net it, but it doesn't look very nice, does it?
No. No, it doesn't. And I like the ducks and the moorhens.
Do you get duck eggs? Can you get duck eggs?
No, they don't. I don't know where they lay them. They're not on the pond, though. I used to have a duck house in the middle of the pond.
That's what you want, yeah.
I had a duck house in the middle of the pond where they used to nest, but it sunk.
I'll tell you something strange. I've been to your house a few times, and I've never actually seen your pond. Isn't that strange?
I've never
perused the... I've never gone further than the swimming pool. I think because you ply me with Prosecco when I go there, and I tend to just sit on the bench.
We don't want you to fall in. Yeah.
You're
not been for a walk through the bluebell wood either.
No, didn't know you had one.
I've got a bluebell wood behind the pond. Yeah.
Are they building on it yet?
No, they're not building there. It's the other side.
And is it going ahead?
Yeah. They've started work. Yeah. I'm having to put up fences to kind of give me a bit of privacy. Now, because I'm going to have neighbours soon, and I never had any neighbours. No, anyway, enough of all that.
Yeah,
it was lovely to talk to you again.
It was.
You really must come back in the studio sometime soon.
Well, I think now we've had our jabs. You've had your jab. I'll trot in, shall I?
Yeah, I would.
You bring the biscuits.
I'm on a diet. Can't eat biscuits.
I'm on a biscuit diet at the moment.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, it's lovely to talk to you. Stay safe. I hope your sinuses repair very soon. And
they will.
We'll see soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, there you go. That was the news according to Jill Serkin. It was lovely to catch up with her, as always, the lovely Jill Serkin. A few more things to tell you about before we end the show today. Got some more tweets coming in. Tracy Ferguson has said, what an interesting and informative interview with Alan Lester of Advanced Hydro. Alan is so passionate about his product too. Love the fact that everything is sourced and made in Kent. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's just, as I said during the interview, it's just an all-round virtuous circle. What he's doing, he's exporting, but everything's sourced locally. Fantastic stuff. You need to look at this. I can't explain it on Twitter because it's a GIF. But Diamond Circle Weddings have just said, think your water's hard. Give them a follow. See what they posted. It's funny. Made me laugh. I'm just checking my tweets to make sure I haven't missed anything that needs to be read out. There's lots of people commiserating over losing Alison from the FSB. And we share those commiserations, but also it's good news for Alison moving onwards and upwards to a new role. And once we find out some more about that, we'll probably tell you what it is. But at the moment, we're all kind of sadly missing her. Not that she's gone yet, but she goes in another week or so. Okie doke. If I haven't read your tweet out so far, maybe retweet it so that I can see it again, or put it on with a Business Bunker hashtag so that I can find it. Construction Live is happening on Thursday the 6th of May, 12:30 till 2 p.m. It's a new event programme designed to provide attendees from the architect, engineer and construction AEC industry with relevant and practical content presented in an interesting and interactive format. Many online events put in place in response to the restrictions are limited in their appeal and uninteresting in the way they are presented. Presenters are remote and the ability for attendees to engage with them is limited to third-party Q&As. Our approach is quite different and proven to be more informative and closer to the live experience that we all miss. Construction Live will emulate a TV magazine format that combines entertaining presentation with conversation and ultimately direct engagement with the audience. Content presenters will initially join a brief conversation with the hosts on the subject before giving their presentation. These will be brief, 10 to 15 minutes, depending on number of presentations, after which, instead of reassembling with the host asking questions submitted via the function buttons, each presenter will host a breakout room. So that's Construction Live, Thursday the 6th of May. If you want to find out about it, if you go to www.constructionexpouk.co.uk/Construction Live. That's www.constructionexpouk.co.uk/Construction Live. Or you can find the same details by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and clicking on the business event tab. So kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and at the top there, click on the business events tab and you will find all the details about Construction Live there. This is interesting. A brand new water park will be making a splash at a popular lakeside attraction. Inflatable obstacles and slides will be the latest addition to St Andrew's Lakes in Halling near Rochester for some family fun when it opens next month. St Andrew's Aqua Park will open on May 29th and bookings, which must be made in advance, are set to be available soon. Numbers will be limited to 30 people in each session to reduce congestion and crowding on the inflatables. It will be available for youngsters aged 6 and above with a minimum height restrictions of 120 centimetres. The park can also be booked for private parties. The venue, which will be manned by full-time lifeguards, will offer 50-minute sessions on the variety of different styles of floating bouncy castles. Wow. So that's another new business is opening soon. St Andrew's Aqua Park, due to open on May 29th. Once we find out the details and website and all the rest of it where you can book, we will give you the booking details for that. At the moment, they haven't provided it. But look out for that, especially if you've got younger kids. A new multi-million pound funding package to support dozens of arts groups across Kent has been awarded by the government. Theatres, galleries, performance groups and art organisations throughout the county will receive a share of a £5 million kitty. The funding has been provided through the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport, and it will help support the arts and culture sector, and it will help them emerge from the pandemic. 46 groups in Kent, which include Chatham Historic Dockyard Trust, POW Thanet and Chiddingston Castle. It's the second round of funding announced by the government as part of its £1.57 billion Culture Recovery Fund. So that's some funding for the culture and arts sector in Kent, which is good news. Help stop the spread of COVID-19 in Medway. Symptom-free testing will continue to be available for everyone. With the national restrictions easing, we're adapting our symptom-free testing program to provide a range of ways to get tested in our local communities. This will help quickly detect new infections and stop the spread of the virus in Medway. It's now never been easier to get tested. From Thursday the 1st of April, that's last week, you'll be able to book a symptom-free test at four sites across Medway, including one new centre. And they are the Chattenden Community Centre, the Oast in Raynham, the Deep End in Chatham, but that has limited opening hours. And there's a new centre at Mid-Kent College in Gillingham, which opened this week. The former centres at Medway Park in Gillingham and Rochester Cathedral are now closed. But if you want to find out about those testing centres or book your place there, if you go to www.gov.uk/get-workplace-coronavirus-tests. That's www.gov.uk/get-workplace-coronavirus-tests. Sorry, I thought I had some more tweets coming in there. Deborah Turner and Vicky just following up with some of the things that we've been talking about on the show today. Thank you for that. You've got 2 minutes to get your last minute tweets in if you want. Just a quick update on the South East Construction Expo. The expo will be live at the South England Events Centre on the 21st of October 2021. But because we have the technology, we're also going to be live streaming the event. What this means is if you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth. Totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have a fantastic networking opportunities both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. If you're a visitor, you'll have fantastic networking opportunities. I just read that bit. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, live recordings will be available to listen again. The South East Construction Expo is where you will find out about major projects and investment opportunities, hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content. There's a free Meet the Buyer with top UK construction companies, live demos of great new innovative products, how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction, and meet thousands of construction businesses and engage in some great networking. If you want to find out more, you can go to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk. Or you can drop them an email at info@constructionexpouk.co.uk. So that's the South East Construction Expo, South of England Events Centre, 21st of October. Okay. Maidstone Borough Council have a public consultation on low carbon and creating a high energy efficient town centre. The council is leading on a low carbon, high energy efficient housing development in the town centre and is asking the public to take part in a consultation and share their thoughts. Working in collaboration with ZPods and Maidstone Property Holdings, Maidstone Council has launched a public consultation on the development, which will consist of 16 low-carbon, energy-efficient homes, which will be built over the King Street car park. The innovative way the homes are being constructed will limit disruption to one of the busiest car parks in Maidstone. Their design will also retain the parking spaces beneath, providing an excellent solution to land, revenue, sustainability and permanent housing issues. The development is hoping to achieve 16 new residential homes, which will be a mix of one and two bedroom apartments and will be super insulated and airtight with minimal energy demand, providing the lowest possible running costs. ZPods are factory-built volumetric homes built to higher standards than conventional houses. They are triple glazed with heat recovery ventilation. With the show, we'll be back with another Business Bunker show next week.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.